Welcome back. It's another edition of the Wenatchee Apple Sox podcast. Jackson Dodd here. So glad to have you all on this first edition of the offseason. Today, we're talking with head coach of the Apple Sox, Mitch Darlington. Mitch, it's been a little while since we've caught up with you. What have you been doing since the season's conclusion?
Yeah. Season ended, obviously, in mid-August. Honestly, just been enjoying some family time. You know, went on a family trip, went to the San Juan Islands and just kind of relaxed. You know, the season is so crazy and it's just so busy day in and day out. And, you know, obviously a lot of energy and a lot of focus required. And so just really wanted to take a week and go enjoy it with some family time. And then, you know, for most of our fans know, I'm also a school teacher. So starting school back up and getting back into that routine. So just been enjoying some downtime.
Yeah, of course. Good to hear. And this is your fourth season as head coach of the Apple Sox. Looking back on this season, how does this summer compare to your past three?
Yeah, I think every summer has been just a little different. You know, I thought the start of this year was great, man. We started off, had a chance to go win the first half. You know, and then we hit this weird skid that I still honestly cannot explain. I have people all the time ask, like, how did you guys lose 7 or 8 straight? You know, you guys had a good club. You had a good team, made a good run in the playoffs. But we just had a weird funk there where we couldn't figure it out and lost a lot of close games. And, you know, so it was kind of that kind of just kind of changed our summer. You know, we had that funk, and then we came out of that and we started playing some really good baseball down the stretch. You know, and then to cap it off, you know, going into Bellingham, who obviously won it all, and, you know, being one inning away from beating them and eliminating them was a fun series. I think we learned a lot. We learned that, you know, we got to continue to improve the pitching staff and have pitching depth. We just kind of ran out of pitching there in Game 3 as we're pulling our center fielder Cam Hoyland from center field to come try to close out a game. And, you know, but honestly, I'm really proud of that group. I'm really proud of the guys that stuck around and stayed for that playoff run, you know, and took the champs to 3 games and had a chance to beat them, you know, and then also winning, you know, 30 games again, 3 straight years doing that. I feel like we just continuously keep getting a little bit better and learning, and that's what it's all about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you mentioned putting your outfielders and a lot of guys on the mound with your pitching staff. You guys had a lot of two-way players this year, especially with Gunnar Pansgover, Cam Hoyland, like you mentioned. Was that something you were focusing on when you were recruiting, or did it just happen to come along that way?
Yeah, we definitely try to get as many two-way guys as we can. You know, it's really just a bonus, especially when you're dealing with you know, a roster that, you know, can't be 100 players. You got to have limits on your roster, and especially with host families and that stuff as well. You know, having a two-way guy that can pitch and also go play defense is huge. So it's really like having two players packaged into one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course. And fluidity-wise for your team, what's it like to have players move in and out during the season? You guys have who will come in a little bit late start of the season, or they'll leave early in the second half. What's that like to manage your roster with players moving in and out?
Yeah. You know, like I tell people a lot, it's honestly like playing fantasy football. It's you're dropping players, you're adding players, guys are coming and going. It's just the recruiting never ends. You know, you recruit a team in the fall and winter, and, you know, and then you get into summer and injuries happen or dropouts happen, and you just got to adjust. You got to go find a way to get more players and get guys in, and it's tough. But yeah, honestly, it's like playing fantasy football. You're constantly managing the roster.
Mm-hmm. And how do you manage to get your players enough reps at their college programs, but also still balancing trying to get those W's in the WCL?
Yeah, you know, that's a fine balance as well. You know, I think we do a pretty good job of letting our players and the coaches that send us players know that winning is pretty important with us, that we're not going to just roll the balls out and have guys come out here and get, you know, their at bats and then head home. It's we're trying to win on a nightly basis. And fortunately, a lot of the programs that send us players and a lot of the guys that show up here enjoy playing here for that reason, because it's competitive and they know we're here to win a West Coast League championship and not just relax and enjoy summer.
Yeah, and mentioning returning players, you had players like Joe Thornton, Cam Hoyland, and Evan Cloy, those guys all coming back this season, as well as many others. How do you manage to get so many returning players to come back to your program?
That's a good question. I think just having them have input and having them be, a big factor of our decision making goes a long way. Pitchers give us some of the best insight on how much they can throw, what days they can throw, and position players. We ask their opinions all the time, whether it be, hey, first and third here, what do you like? Would you bunt here? Would you hit and run? Letting them just have a little bit more say in our day in, day out stuff. It's not always us barking at them, telling them what to do. Every single one of our guys on our roster has a voice on how we go about things, whether we're at the field at this time or checking in at this time. I feel like we do a pretty good job of getting a gauge on our players and what they want to do, and obviously pushing them where they want to be pushed, but just letting them have a say in their summer.
And how'd that feel to have players who stuck around the whole entire season just come to mind? Mitch Haythorn, who started you guys' first ball game and then pitched in the final series against Bellingham in the playoffs. How'd that feel to have guys stick around the whole entire season?
Yeah, I honestly, that's why I think at the end it gets so emotional for us as coaches and players, because there's so many guys on that team that had been there from day one or stuck it out. And I'll never forget getting the ball from Mitch Haythorn after he'd been injured in that playoff game too, rolled his ankle and was just trying to grind it out. And he looked around the mound, and he was apologizing to his teammates. He was sorry that he had to get out of the game because he was hurting so bad. And that's the gutsiness, the type of kid he is. But Cade Martinez comes to mind, a guy that was there, from the very beginning. And you just get so attached to the players, and players get attached to coaches, and it's just a family, man. And it's hard at the end there.
Speaking of family, what's your like favorite standout memory you guys had over the season as an overall team?
Ooh, that's a good question. Honestly, one of my favorite wins was the Saturday regular season one, where Canoa came in to pitch to clinch against Bellingham at home. And very similar to the playoff game two, that he came in to pitch and goes 4 or 5 in relief. Both of those games were a couple of my favorites, but a sneaky one that I don't think a lot of people would think of was the game 3 at Port Angeles that went into extra innings, and they have the new extra inning rule. I thought that was a gritty win. We had a 2-0 lead in the ninth. They score two and go to extras. We very easily could have just rolled over and felt bad for ourselves, and instead we go 11 or 12 innings, whatever it was, and find a way to get a win. And the bus ride home was pretty awesome. So that was one of my more favorite moments of the summer.
Yeah, and you mentioned your team being really gritty, and I think they are really scrappy this season as well. Just the level of play you guys played was really well. I mean, you had pitchers picking up your guys' offense and also vice versa. How were you able to get that communication within your team to support each other and keep on going and not rolling over?
Yeah, I think that's just something that kind of comes naturally with the guys. The more they get together, and the closer they get over the course of a summer. Obviously, we're a pretty laid back coaching staff as far as the bus trips and stuff like that. And we let our guys have fun and enjoy it. I mean, you've been on the bus, the dance parties after wins, and all that little stuff that. It's easy as a coach. You can go turn off the music and tell them to quiet down, or you can let them have fun and get some memorable experiences. And I think all those moments where you're just smiling and dying laughing and hanging with your teammates and hanging with your coaches and everybody on that bus, that it all factors in. It all factors into just creating that brotherhood and that bond that makes it so special.
And you mentioned that brotherhood, and I think during that 8-game losing stretch you guys had, I think that was a big part of how you guys were able to climb out of that. As a coaching staff, how are you able to get your players to change the mentality and then bounce back and snap that losing streak?
Yeah, I think it was two things. Honestly, I think it was a couple roster additions, a couple really a couple big culture setters for us. Izzy Madriaga showed up towards the end of that losing skid, and then Evan Canfield returning. Both those guys kind of set the tone for our entire ball club as far as the toughness they bring. Both LC State guys, where toughness is a big thing. But yeah, I mean, I think their mentality alone started to change stuff. But also, I think we just all stepped back and just we were just putting too much pressure on ourselves to get out of it instead of it taking it one day at a time and enjoying the game. Leadership like Cade Martinez, who every day was saying, "Hey, today's the best day of our lives." Little stuff like that puts a smile on your face and just makes you go, "All right, we're playing baseball. There's not that much. This isn't life or death here. Let's just go out and enjoy this and find a way to get out of this."
So after that 8-game losing streak, a little bit of a rough patch, you guys were able to get into a game three at the Bellingham Bells, who ended up winning the WCL championship. How'd that feel to go from a little rough stretch, bouncing back and playing against one of the top teams of the WCL and nearly beating them?
No, it was great the whole turnaround, even after the 8-game skid. Just to get into playoffs and then start playing good baseball, and once we got into the playoffs, our whole mindset was we got nothing to lose, man. We're the 4 seed. Nobody's counting on us to go in here and beat Bellingham, especially after losing game one. And so we just cut it loose. We just started playing loose baseball. And like I said, I had nothing to lose, and taking it one pitch at a time, and just realizing all the pressure's on them, man. They're supposed to beat us. They won the first half. They're the Bellingham Bells. They got, the name brand schools. They got UCLA, USC. We're gonna go in here and just play loose. And I was really proud of the fight, man. We very easily after game one losing at home could have went in there and just rolled over and ended our season. But we went in there and fought, and man, dang near had him. Dang near had him, but we didn't, that's baseball.
And I mean, you guys put up quite a fight, 13 innings in that second ball game, taking the win. And I mean, even forcing into extras in the last ball game, you guys didn't go down without a fight. And then I think it goes, like you said, you guys just kept on going, playing as if, I mean, the pressure's all on them. I think just a lot of just credit to you guys for being able to do that. And mentality wise, last year, you guys were the first seed. So you guys clinched the first half. In the second half, how was this year just different compared to last year?
Yeah, it's towards the end there of this summer, it started to have that same feel of last year where guys were really coming together. So much matters, so much goes into trying to win one of these, win a West Coast League championship. You got to have the right guys stick around. Injuries are a huge thing. Guys going home early, man, you can't say it enough. It's such a weird league. It's such a weird league because it goes so late into August, and some guys have to leave and report early. So it's just finding a way to get your guys to stick around. And then obviously you got to still have depth on the mound, and that's kind of where we ran out of it this year, was we just kind of ran out of bullets in the bullpen. And feel wise, honestly, the camaraderie and a lot of that was similar towards the very end of the summer. I thought early in this summer, we were lacking that. We weren't close enough. We weren't, able to fight for our teammates enough. And honestly, we just weren't tough enough. We weren't a tough ball club that was going to go out there in the ninth with a one run lead and find a way just to slam the door and close it. And there's a lot that factors into that, whether it be we had younger players this year, whether it was guys that hadn't grinded through 2 to 3 years of college baseball. You'll see less of that, but every summer is different. It's a different group of guys. That's why it's so important just to have a good core that keeps returning and kind of setting the standard and setting your culture.
Yeah, and how do you think you were able to get your guys to toughen up in that second half?
I think we just started harping on it more and more. Throughout the summer, we tend to be laid back and let our guys play the game, and we're not on them every day, riding them as far as mentality goes and getting stuff done. But I thought as that 8-game skid started to close, we kind of just dialed everything in and realized that our day in, day out processes have to get better. We can't be lazy during batting practice. We can't be showing up to the yard later than what's expected. We got to go put in our early work and go get down in the batting cage if we're struggling and get on a tee. And, just honestly, we just started putting in more work. We just kind of flipped the switch and said, we're gonna change things. Everything. I mean, literally from everything. I remember going into the clubhouse and taking the playing cards away from the guys and being like, we're not gonna sit here and play cards in the clubhouse. Where if you're here early, you're getting in the batting cage and working, or you're getting your long toss in or whatever you need in early work. But we just kind of flipped the script as an entire group, not just me. Our leaders on our team set the tone and said we're gonna dig our way out of it.
And I think that switch on your sort of team really speaks to you as a coach. And with your years at the Apple Sox, you guys have always been a top team in the WCL. How do you manage to get your team to always step up and be such a contender?
Yeah, I don't know, that's a good question. Obviously we're one of the long lasting brands of the West Coast League. I think we have a little advantage there that, we're the Wenatchee Apple Sox, and we've won 5 championships with Ed Nags, who's built our brand into something that a lot of people around the country know. But I don't know. We've been fortunate to have some really good players in here, I'll say that. We've had a lot of very talented guys and draft picks and good programs who trust us with their players and send us quality players every summer. So there's a lot of factors, good coaches that come here, and there's a lot that goes into it.
And Mitch, this year was a historic season for you as you picked up your 100th career win as a head coach for the Apple Sox. How'd that game feel?
Yeah, that was awesome. That was a fun win, I think, on night number 2. And I again, I was just more happy to get our first win of the season than a 100th win. I was a little frustrated after the opening night loss. So I was more happy just to get the monkey off the back and get the first one of that summer in. So it was cool. It was definitely something I'll look back on later. But at the time, I was just happy to get a win.
Yeah, makes sense. And team-wise, you guys also broke some records this year as a total team in a 21-9 win over the Port Angeles Lefties. You guys picked up most total bases in a game and most hits. Team-wise, were they going for that intentionally once they figured that out, or did it just happen to come across that?
Yeah, I had no idea. I honestly, I didn't even know there was a record or record for total bases, or I mean, I assume there was, but yeah, we had no clue until after the game, and then the graphic was posted, and I thought that was pretty awesome. So yeah, we had no clue at the time. Just we're playing baseball.
And also this year, speaking of somewhat historic, this was Quincy Vassar's first year as a coach with the Apple Sox. You've coached him a couple of years, obviously. He's been a player of yours, but what was different this year having him as a coach instead of just a player?
Yeah, honestly, a lot didn't change. He's still that competitive guy. He's still stubborn as hell, and me and him are chirping at each other probably a little more than normally. I only had to chirp at him once a week when he was a pitcher, but now it's like on a nightly basis. I'm sitting in the dugout arguing with him, or so over something. We're both competitive people. That's why I brought him in, man. He's one of the most competitive guys I've ever met. And yeah, it was fun to see him as a coach, him develop as the year went on, and get more confident. He calls a really good game. We started letting him call pitches for our pitchers, and that made a difference as well. He thinks the game really well, and that's why he's going to be a good coach.
I mean, I totally agree with you. I mean, Quincy this year, it was impressive. Me personally, my first year with the Sox, I would have thought that he's been coaching for years now. He did a great job with that. And now shifting towards this next season, you guys are already recruiting for the 2026 season. What's your guys' main focus on?
Yeah, I think this year we're focusing on getting some older guys, some guys that have, played junior college baseball, and now we're at that Division I school. I think that toughness is a big thing, and I think playing junior college baseball and having a couple years of experience as opposed to be kind of green and being a freshman or an incoming freshman. I think it makes a difference. So big focus is trying to get those older guys and guys who are a little more experienced. And that's just kind of what we're working on right now.
Yeah, and walk us through that recruiting process as most of the fans are really curious on that. How do you contact college coaches and get them to send your players to the Sox?
Yeah, I think as you keep coaching in the league, it gets easier and easier. In a sense, that is, the schools that continuously send you quality players, it's an easy connection to go, get on a phone call with them and see who they have for you for next summer. But there's also a lot of just guys you know of through players. This year's as we're already recruiting right now, we've signed a few guys that we just know of through players that have played for us previously, who give you an honest evaluation of a guy and say, hey, this kid's really good. He wants to come to Wenatchee. You should get him. And a lot of times it's funny because players end up giving you the best evaluations. They're not gonna lie to you. They're gonna tell you this kid's good enough. He's your type of guy. He's gonna mesh well with you, or he's not. So I think we've leaned into using players to help us recruit as well. And then obviously trying to get your returners, trying to get your Mitch Haythorns and Joe Thorntons and those type of kids back and get them to set your culture for the next summer.
Yeah, and speaking of Joe Thornton and also going hand in hand with what you just said, I remember on a road trip back this season, I can't exactly remember where, you guys were trying to figure out and get some guys to come on in, and Joe talked about one of the players. He's like, oh, he's a dog, Mitch. You got to bring him in. You got to bring this guy in. How does, in those late recruiting scenarios, you just showing true trust for your players? What's that like?
I said, a lot of times they're some of your biggest recruiters. That's a perfect example of it. We're thin on pitching down those final couple weeks, and we're literally asking another pitcher who's on the bus, hey man, do you know of any other arms that would come play for us? And he's got three names for you right off the bat. So that's a perfect example of trusting your guys, and they're gonna have honest evaluations and put you on somebody that's a good player.
Yeah, of course. And when you're trying to recruit guys, you mentioned you try and look for older guys who have some more experience, but actually on the playing side of the field, what do you look for in their playing skill?
Yeah, a lot of it's not as much, skill. I mean, there's only limited videos on a lot of the guys that you're recruiting, and so much of it is honestly you're looking at stats. What have they done previously? And then trusting the coaches that what they say about this player is going to be true. I will say that at our park, one thing I didn't do a great job of last summer, was getting enough left-handed bats in our lineup. It's such a jet stream out to right field at Paul Thomas. And I think one thing we'll focus on more this summer is getting some left-handed sticks that can put a ball in the air to right. Because, I mean, you've called games this summer and you've seen it. You put a routine fly ball into right field and it somehow sneaks out of the yard. And it's just recruiting to your field, I think, is what we'll focus on a little more as well.
Yeah, it makes sense. And also this year, a late addition for the Sox, Evan Canfield. Was this fourth or fifth season with the Apple Sox? Am I correct?
Yeah, fourth one. The only players I've never coached a summer without are Quincy Vassar and Evan Canfield. So both were still here in some form.
What was it like to have Evan come back in that super clutch time?
Yeah, that it was awesome. Like I said, not only his on the mound performances, but just his attitude and the swagger he brings and the culture he sets is something that was a big reason we brought him in at that point.
And Mitch, you're heading into your fifth season as head coach of the Apple Sox. What's changed over the years, being affiliated with the program?
Man, I don't know. I don't know. I think every summer we've just gotten a little bit better and better and are fine-tuning things. And not only just on the field performance, but just everything. We're our day in, day out, the way we treat players, the experiences that they get in Wenatchee. I think we've just done a good job of every year getting a little better. But yeah, that's the fun part of coaching in this league. Every year is different, every summer is different. and every team is different. So it's just the excitement of getting to do it one more time for sure, and trying to go win this thing.
Yeah, you mentioned excitement. What are you most looking forward to for this 2026 season?
Man, that's a tough one. Yeah, honestly, just getting back and getting back at Paul Thomas and coaching, and just the ballpark buzz, just our fans, our workers, everybody that goes into the day in, day out, grind of a summer. It's hard to put it into one thing because there's just so much that goes into an entire summer in Wenatchee. So just the accumulation of the grind and the people that we get to work with.
Yeah, of course. Mitch, thank you again for your time. It was great chatting with you today.
Awesome. Thank you, Jackson.
Yeah, thank you, fans. Stay tuned for more episode of the Wenatchee Apple Sox podcast coming your way.